Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for blessing us with your presence. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness. Bless us with the latter rain, Father, so that we can go forth into the loud cry and glorify you. Let the signs follow your people. Thank you for blessing us on this Sabbath day with the changing of the showbread and giving us understanding so that we can go forth and bring more souls to the truth. And thank you for watering the seeds that we've already planted and for blessing everyone that's on our prayer list, especially those that are lost and those that are in need of healings. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yes, my voice sounds strange. As I told everybody last night, I got a severe sore throat beginning of the week. After 3 days, I went into prayer, and the Lord healed me, and the pain was gone. But now I don't have much of a voice left, so I can't. I don't know, it's just all raspy. It'll come back to normal, I'm sure. As long as I've never had this happen before in my life, so it's new to me. So, but I've some family members and friends have had the same issue, you know, you get a sore throat or a cold, and your voice gets messed up. Oh, it's good to hear. Oh, hi there, Joel and Pierre. It's good to see you. Good to see everybody. Sam, blessings, everyone. And those of you on the radio and on the phone. Okay, we're still in lesson number one. We're all the way down on number 18, and this lesson is how can we know the future? This is the last days of studies that we have available online for anybody that's seeking baptism. And so number 18 is where where we're at. Well, sorry to hear that, Parmalee. Parmalee's got a sore throat, too. So, just pray and ask the Lord to remove the... It was an amazing thing to see. I mean, this happened to me a couple times before, maybe three times. I forgot what the third one was. But I had a burned hand, and I had to get up for work, and it was the middle of the night, and I asked the Lord to remove the pain so I can go to sleep. And it just faded away. And the same thing happened with a toothache. I had to get up for work, and then this sore throat the other day. And then it just faded away. Then I woke up in the morning, and the first time I said good morning to someone, he was like, whoa, what happened? Yeah. Old age. Thanks, Susan. I'm getting old. This would be something if I was stuck with this voice for the rest of my life, I'll tell you that. But my wife says I sound like my brother Mike. So, anyway, getting back. Number 18. What is God's word to us? And it's in the answer, of course. This is one of the things that's beautiful about this Bible study. It's an open book test. Thank you, Brother Gilran. And Psalm 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That says it all. Or like some people like to say today, you know, B-I-B-L-E, basic instructions before leaving earth. That's one of the amazing things about the Bible, it being a lamp unto your feet. And it's just, I mean, it's not just spiritual walk that you're blessed with this, with here. It's also your physical walk can be blessed in a major way, too, especially when it comes to tithing and stuff like that. But I was mentioning something last night, which I didn't want to mention on the radio, and I'll be very vague at what I'm talking about here, but I was asked to go someplace the other day to lay hands on someone, and the person suggesting I come out there, I had bad discernment about it. And this is, something that happened not too long ago. And had I not known what the Bible says about certain things, I may have went and then been in danger or wasted time or whatever the case may be, or who knows. But with biblical jurisprudence under my belt, which means I do as the Bible says to do, and if someone asks me to do something in a biblical manner, let's say, I go for the instruction booklet first to make sure that this is the method by which it should be done. You know, like laying hands on somebody, or if you can't make it, what did Paul do? You know, send handkerchiefs or pieces of clothing that have been prayed over, and you know, you get the prayer cloth, you know. But anyway, it's an amazing thing to see how, even in the, or look what happened with the Black Plague. There's a good example. It's not just, because we know the Bible is a spiritual tool. It's an amazing blessing to behold in regards to finding our way home, you know, getting on the path to heaven. That goes without saying. But when you look at what happened with the Black Plague, the Vatican made sure that the Bible was out of the people's homes. Okay, and because it was out of their homes, the basic instructions for life in regards to handling sewage, for that matter, or even leprosy. You know, you see, like in the Old Testament, about the priest coming in and checking the house, looking for stripes and stuff like that, and discoloration. And if it goes away in so many days and everything's okay, it's not deadly. But if it does not go away, then you burn the house down. Don't let the family live there. It's dangerous. Well, if you don't read your Bible, you don't know about that. Or with the sewage thing. You know, the Bible was taken out of society by the Vatican because they wanted to hide the fact that they weren't Christians. So this is why they take the Bible out. People don't get that, you know, even though... And they're still trying to take the Bible out today. I mean, even a Muslim will tell you, what is it with you Christians? You got 400 different versions of your Bible. Well, we don't, but the Vatican does. And so they've been attacking the Bible ever since because it exposes them who they are, but they don't want to be exposed, and so that's why they took the Bible out of society way back then. In fact, in the Council of Valencia, 1229 AD, if you had a Bible and you didn't give it up, you would burn in its place because they were burning the Bibles then. So anyway, they didn't know that you can't run a ditch behind each house or shanty or whatever. I think it was, they were houses, but they weren't like what you would call a house today. It would be like a huts and something like that, I guess, you know, third world country kind of homes. And there was a ditch running through the back part of everyone's home, you know, the toilet. You know, and the whole neighborhood, I guess, was built on an incline so that the sewage would run from one house to the next. So if you went to the bathroom, everybody down the road would be visited by your bathroom festivities, okay? And if you're sick, well, it just fumigates into all the other houses, all the germs. And if you don't read your Bibles, you don't know about stuff like that. So it's not just spiritual. I mean, it's like the thing of today goes. It is the basic instructions before leaving Earth. Yeah. So, number 19. What is our duty regarding the light God gives? This is in John 12, verse 35. It says, "Then Jesus said unto them, Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." And that is, you know, like when you look at in today's world, there's a lot of people out there that do not read Bibles. And if you ask them where they go when they die, they have no clue. Some of them don't even know what hell is. Some even think the name Jesus Christ is a swear word. I mean, they don't. They really have no idea, and which is a really sad thing when you think about it, because especially if you're a Christian, you realize there's a creator. Or let's even say that they know there's a creator, but they've never read their Bibles. They have no idea where they're going in life. And that's one of the beauties of the Bible as well. When you get close to Christ by reading his word, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, you know, it says in the word in that respect, you begin to find out what you're supposed to do in life. See, I, you know, especially for the first 8 years of my marriage, I was stupid between the years. I mean, big time idiot. I mean, I did all sorts of crazy, idiotic things, but then I never read the Bible either. And I was constantly looking for, is this what I shall do for my career for the rest of my life and take care of my wife and kids? Or is, should I do this? Or should I do that? Or should I do this? I mean, when I was a teenager, I thought I was supposed to shoot pool for a living. You know, and so it was all these weird attempts at doing this. And it always ended up where I couldn't get two nickels to rub together. Just couldn't figure it out. And then when I started reading the Word, I still didn't have that quite a big grasp on what I was supposed to do yet. But the jobs I did get, they were easier to hold on to. And I was a little bit more secure in my, you know, in life, because the Lord was testing me. He wasn't telling me yet what he wanted me to do. Even though I had already started a ministry, I was passing out tracts. I was just doing, you know, like what Legion did. You know, when he got cast, when the demons got cast out of him, he went to the city and just told people what Jesus did. That's what I did. I just went around, and I'm not saying I was demon possessed, but there was a time that I was. But you know, when I was freed from all these strange things in my life, I went out and I told everybody what I knew, and that was it. And the Lord watches and, you know, sees what his child does, and gives a little bit more talent in this area, a little bit more talent in that area. And it's with the Word, staying with the Word on a daily basis, especially in the morning, opening up the Bibles in the morning, because it's very clear what it says in the Bible about if you seek him early, you shall be blessed. It's in the book of Proverbs. That's why I read the Bible in the morning. I didn't know that. I mean, for decades I read the Bible in the morning, and, you know, quite recently, in fact, I found out that you're supposed to read it in the morning. And, but the thing is with the, you know, with the question here being, what is our duty regarding the light that God gives us, is to run with it. Because if you don't run with the light, you are literally walking in darkness, because the little light that he gives you is all you need to get on and stay on the path. Anything else that's kind of foggy and got gray areas and doesn't really have any clarity in life, you stay off of those areas, because he hasn't enlightened you yet in that area. And this is where my problem was. I was trying things that I wasn't sure about. The things I was sure about, I was running with. I was handing out tracts, doing this and doing that, but I was still trying things on the side that I wasn't sure about. And I finally woke up years later and said, why am I doing that? Why don't I just stay with the things that I know that works? And then before you know it, he called me into the ministry full time. It's like the thief on the cross, you know. What little he understood, he ran with it. Okay, he gained heaven by that, or will gain heaven when heaven starts for mankind, all of mankind in general. You know, the 1 Corinthians 15:20-23 thing, in regards to every man in his own order, there's quite a few that are in heaven now, yes, but the overwhelming grand majority of people, including King David, are still in the graves, and Mary, too. The Vatican came up with their strange assumption theology, but there is no biblical scriptures to back it up. That's why they call it the assumption. They assume she's there. So, anyway, going on, number 20. It says, what must we do to know if a doctrine is of God? And John 7, verse 17 says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. And what is his will? You know, faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And then Isaiah says, to the light and the testimony, they speak not according to this word, is because there's no light in them. And then he also says in Isaiah, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. If you want to study doctrine, if you want to understand doctrine. So if you're doing his will, you're going to know about those other things. And you're going to get to know what to do with that which you understand, or what to do with that which you have been taught in the Word. So if you do the will of God, you will be blessed with the doctrines, with the understanding of the doctrines. Yeah, I know. Legion is the name of the demon, not the man. Yeah. Okay. Thanks for correcting me. But yeah, I do. Yeah, I know, but I should have gone a little bit more descriptive in that. But everybody calls him Legion because that's the demon that when Jesus asked him what his name was, he was speaking to the demons. He wasn't speaking to the man. So, but just to make it quicker, I just said Legion. So, sorry about that. But anyway, so what must we do to know if a doctrine is of God? What must we do to know if a doctrine is of God? Well, John 7:17, of course, is pretty clear. If any man do his will, you're going to know. But if you step away from God's will, you're going to believe in Sunday keeping. You're going to believe in seven-year tribs, eternal life in hellfire. Because, see, if you're doing God's will, which is studying the Bible daily, and then what it says in the Bible to do, you do, which is also his will. So if he says go to, you know, worship on Sabbath day and you do it, well, he'll continue to bless you because you're continually being tested. Every time you turn around, see, a lot of us don't realize this. You know, you're tested big, you're tested little. And there's these little things that we find in the Word. Does it rub us the wrong way? It shouldn't. It should never rub you the wrong way. If you find something that you're doing, you should be able to have this off switch. And this is what I praise the Lord for that I've had for decades. And I praise his name that he made it so easy for me. It might be easy for you, too. I'm sure other people are like this, too. But when I see something and I run across a thus saith the Lord, something that I know for a fact that I used to think was okay, and now today, let's say December 3rd, 2011, I come across a Bible verse that I never really clearly understood until right now, because that's how our Father works sometimes. You could be studying the Bible for your entire life, and then that's why it's called the living word. When you need to see it, you'll see it and hear it and understand it. So let's say today something clicks, and I see it. And I realize what I've been doing is wrong, and then boom, bam, I hit the switch, and that's it. From that day, from that second on, I'll never do that thing again. And I don't care how much cold turkey has to be involved with it, whether it's smoking or drinking or thinking certain things or doing certain things. Did the same thing with the smoking many, many years ago. It's got to be upwards of 20 years now since I've had a cigarette. And, you know, still small voice, would you give them up for me? And boom, it was like instant. You know, hit the switch. So, and then Psalm 25:14 says, the secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. And this is kind of leads towards something that one thing I've always said for the last few years, there's something that I simply cannot teach. It has to be experienced. And that is truth. Absolute truth. You cannot... the truth that is within is what I'm saying. I could teach truth. Yeah, anybody could do that. There's 66 books of it. You know, that's called the Bible. But the truth that is within, the understanding of the truth, the, I guess an easier way of putting it is the actual indwelling of the Holy Spirit that's in you that makes you realize that when someone comes to you and you have this discernment, okay, that's an easy way of saying it. The discernment hits and you realize what they're sharing with you is wrong, and you don't really know why it's wrong. You just know your spirit is telling you. The Holy Spirit is telling you your spirit, yourself. Well, you don't really have a spirit to speak of, you know. That's, of course, the breath of life. But your conscience or whatever, how the Holy Spirit speaks to you or your heart, you realize there's something wrong here. You can't really wrap your hand. For example... When and my wife will attest to this too, because she had the same situation when she was a young Catholic, and I did too. And I know there's a lot of Catholics that have this in their minds too. Because every now and then you run across a Bible verse, even if you're a Catholic, there's a very strong possibility you'll run across a Bible verse once in a while, because you're not taught to read Bibles. But my mom was an avid reader. There was books all over the house. There was a Bible. It was never read by anybody, but once in a while I would open it and look at it, and I found this one verse, and it says, don't call any man on earth your father. And I thought, okay, this is the Word of God. And so this is absolute, unequivocal truth. So why is it I'm calling this priest Father? That always irked me. And I used to, like when I got older, I started goofing around calling him Padre. Because I couldn't say the English name Father. I'd say Padre, or I would say Padre, or Your Eminence, or Monsignor, you know, stuff like that. Because I, even though it's more or less saying the same thing, it's a different language, and that was my way of getting around it, but I still had that deep in my heart, something just ain't right here. It ain't clicking. There's a problem here. And that can't be taught. That has to be given. That's from the Holy Spirit. That's how he leads you. This is how, you know, at least in my life, this is how the Spirit works with me. It's like the Bereans. If they hear something they don't understand, they go to the Bible to see if it's of God. Now, this next one here is number 21. Let me backtrack. Let's see. Secret of the Lord is in that, with them that fear him. And the fear here, by the way, of the Lord is reverent fear. It's not like you're shaking your book's fear. But then again, it is kind of fearful to that extent when it comes to the flesh, because we saw what happened at Mount Sinai when they all crumpled down and started crawling in the dirt and worked their way up to Moses and started tugging on his robe and saying, hey, let him talk to you, lest we die. You know, they couldn't handle his presence. Or when there's another good example of... Or when Jesus said, I am he. And they says, we're looking for Jesus Christ. He says, I am he. And they all just collapsed. The Bible says that. They fainted. They just fell on their backs. They collapsed. Which proved he went on his own accord. He could have stopped them in a heartbeat. We all know that. Just from the miracles alone. But yeah, amen. Fear is the beginning of wisdom. Which makes you realize who he is. Even in our base understanding. Because we're going to be looking through a glass darkly till that eastern sky splits. And even then, for trillions and trillions of years, all throughout eternity, we're going to continue to read that same Bible that we have now, but we're going to have better eyes to see it with. And you think it's an amazing book now. You wait till you get home. It's going to be like, wow. It's going to be all that. The Bible is like, it's not going to be like down here where, you know, you got to go to the movies this week or, you know, these wonderful, exciting things that you can do down here. The thing up there is going to be the Word. As far as I can tell, because we're going to be studying that throughout all eternity. It's going to be the mainstay of existence, and because that is the truth, the absolute truth. It's going to be our lifeline. It is our, you know, the Word made flesh. Jesus is the Word. Amen. The Word made flesh. So, number 21. What does God want to show us? And now when I was a kid, I used to call this the phone number of God. Why did I say that? I said, well, what's the phone number of God? I said, well, God's phone number is Jeremiah 33:3. And why? Well, it says, call unto me. First three words. And it says, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And that too, because that's something, like when I first started reading the Bible, man, when you guys were young, I used to say, that's God's phone number. Yeah, Jeremiah 33. And, but if you, and I've told this to many babes in Christ because I've experienced this myself when I first started getting into the Word. It was like Greek to me, you know, especially after I got out of the Catholic Church and I started reading the King James, it was a little difficult. And so I asked the Lord, and I called on to him, and he answered me. You know, seek and ye shall knock. Ask and ye shall receive. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And so I trusted him. He says, you know, you wrote this book, and I'm just a little guy down here. I don't have much understanding of much anything. I need you to teach me how to understand it. I can understand English. But this old English stuff, I mean, sometimes the way they speak is kind of like backwards. They put the heavy, like what I would call the heavy part of the sentence, which should be at the end. It starts in the beginning like that sometimes. It's strange. It goes back and forth. But he opened it up. And it took a little while because I had to be tested too. I had to be sure, you know, that he had to be sure that I was going to run with what he was giving me. I mean, I can't just say, you know, like this one person I ran into on the street. He says, he said, you don't believe in God. I says, why don't you believe in God? He says, well, I knelt down one day and I asked him to do something for me, and I prayed for a whole 15 straight minutes. I mean, I was serious. I was crying. I was concentrating. I was doing everything I knew to do in prayer, and he didn't answer that prayer. He says, oh, 15 minutes, huh? That's all you gave him. Well, you failed the test. He may have answered the prayer. You just didn't realize it was answered. No. Because sometimes he answers no, sometimes he answers slow. So if you have a 15-minute prayer and you think that's all it takes to gain Christ, well, then I tell you, why don't you go over to McDonald's and tell them you want to be CEO day one when you walk in. No, they're going to put you on the fryer. You got to be tested. And so as I started reading the Word, you know, faithfully, even though 90% of what I was reading, it just wasn't making much sense, I was getting 10%, though. Hold on a second. Okay. So, eventually it will make sense. And your eyes will be opened. And it could take weeks, it could take months, it can take years. It all depends on you, how serious you are. Do you really want to understand? Especially when it comes to prophecy. This is why I did the study on the prophecy. I did it mostly for my kids in case I end up in jail or dead or something. But I also put all my stuff online anyway. And I'm, of course, talking about the Revelation study that I did where I allowed the Bible to define every single symbol in the book of Revelation. It took about 3 years to do that study. And it's in book form, but I can't afford to print this book. It's 327 pages, so if you want to print it, there's a flat on my POGM manuscripts page if you want to copy for yourself. But it comes in handy whenever you go into the scriptures and you want to know certain prophetic symbols. Now, these are just the symbols in Revelation. There's some symbols in Jeremiah and Isaiah and Daniel that aren't covered. Well, Daniel, I would think 99% of them are going to be in Revelation too, because they complement each other. But you got other books of the Bible and even some of the passive prophetic statements that are made even in the Torah, the books that Moses wrote, there's some prophetic statements there. I mean, case in point, the Sabbath commandment, it's got the word remember right there in front of it. But that kind of stuff isn't, some of that stuff isn't in Revelation. But most of the prophetic symbols are in Revelation, and every single solitary one of those symbols are found and explained somewhere in the Bible. And that helps. And that's why, the reason I did it is because, like, if a babe in Christ wants to understand, especially when it comes to prophecy, well, here's a jump start for you. This kind of stuff we didn't have when we were growing up. As far as I know, I've never seen anybody. I mean, I ran into somebody that did do something similar to that, but a lot of typos, and none of the Bible verses were printed out. Because I even print out the Bible verses and then underline in each verse where the definition of the symbol is. So, anyway, this goes on with Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 to 5. It says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. Now, keep in mind who's speaking here, all right? And so, there's no gray areas when the Lord is penning scripture, whether it's through a prophet or whoever, or even him himself, when Jesus was speaking in the Gospels, or all throughout the Old Testament through his men and women. When he says, if thou criest out for knowledge, he's not saying, kinda crying out or, kinda curious. No, this is absolute. If you really want knowledge and you really lift up your voice and seek understanding, and if thou seekest her as silver, like it's something like Jesus in the parable with the guy with the pearl of great price. I mean, you have to be dead serious. You really want the knowledge, you really want the understanding, and you're going to grasp at this as some people would grasp at riches. Like some people clamor and kick and scream their whole life to get every dollar they can and then worship those dollars. There's a lot of people out there that are like that. A lot, especially in today's world. I mean, that's how the devil's able to do the thing he's doing. It's like what's going on right now with the Mark of the Beast, what they're setting up for the Mark of the Beast. The tracking technology, whether it be digital angel or the real ID card or whatever they're figuring, I doubt if it's going to be digital angel because not a lot of people are going to want them to implant things in their bodies. But take, for example, the ID card. You know how many corporations are clamoring for that job to get that ID card? Think about it. The minute you get that ID card, you're guaranteed 7 billion sales. Guaranteed, because everybody on the planet will have to get one. This is why they're clamoring after this. But there's Christians that seek after the scriptures the way these guys are going after the money. This is what he's talking about here. So, yeah, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Again, that's Proverbs 2, verses 3 to 5. Understand the fear of the Lord. One of the brothers said earlier, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's what it says in the book, in the Bible. And then you will find the knowledge of God. But still, we're going to be looking at the glass darkly, of course, till we get home. But you're going to find that. See, we understand. Now, this is my own personal opinion when it comes to Solomon, because no man was as wise as him. But I like to go with the technicalities, the way the Lord abruptly states things in the scriptures. So, again, this is just my opinion. But, okay, fine. Solomon was otherwise a very, very, very wise man, and no man on earth has ever been as wise as him. Okay? But can someone be wiser? I mean, I got to ask that question. I mean, wouldn't you? Because, okay, fine, there's a limit. Grant me Solomon's wisdom, please, Father, is the prayer, right? But, and I know how you are very abrupt in your scripture. You don't gild the lily. You don't beat around the bush. You say what you mean. So if no man has been as wise as Solomon, can I be wiser? I mean, look at what Elijah did for Elisha. When he seeked, you know, Elisha wanted a double portion of the Holy Spirit, and Elijah asked you if it was okay. And sure enough, the answer must have been good, because Elijah dropped his robe, and Elijah had a double portion. So, again, that was just my opinion in regards to wisdom. But I would so much want to have, if not at least as much as Solomon had, but more. Because I don't see a stipulation there that we cannot have more. But then again, I'm just saying that's just the way I read it. All right. And then this study finishes out at, it says, in the light of God's word, and then you're supposed to check. This was, of course, for those that are taking for baptism reasons. I understand that the entire Bible is the word of God, holy, reliable, and the test of all things. Now, if you're Roman Catholic, you can't check there. Because tradition is above the Bible and the Catholic Church, as well as a lot of other churches. Especially the churches that are embracing the NIV and all the other strange Bibles. The defiled bread, if you will. And then the next one is, I desire to diligently study the word of God and allow it to direct every aspect of my life. There's a check mark that you got to put there, too. So, hope and pray you were blessed. Next week, of course, we're going to go to number two, lesson number two. And I think that one is titled, Will There Soon Be a One World Government? Okay, and now this is like, because I put this study on the site many years ago. Brother Rob, I think, had it on his site years before me. We got permission from the guy that, whoever, I can't remember, you know, like-minded brother that did these years ago. He's got them on DVD or something like that, and you got to get permission before you can put them on the sites. But will there soon be a one-world government? We know what the prophecy says. Most of the people in the world are just finding out today about a new world order. Don't even realize that Hitler was talking about a new world order in his day. But those of us that understand prophecy have known about this. Christians that understood prophecy have known about this for, what, 200 years? Maybe? A little under 200 years? So, anyway, hope and pray you're blessed. Be back in a minute.